for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, February the 17th, 2017. Carla Butard is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Exploring Prayer.
Listen, I can so relate to those who don't want to get a pair of tongs. When I was in college, I went to one semester. I quit. College was not for me. But I had to take speech in what I was choosing to be. I was going to be a school teacher, and they took me through this thing where they had this two-way or a one-way mirror where there was a camera behind this window, and you had to, like, teach your peers. Now, I don't have a problem with children, but people my own age, I don't think so. I changed my major. Got out. And then I went to be secretarial science and had to take speech. I never showed up for one speech class. So I figured college was not for me. But anyway, I never like to get up in front of people either, but this is where God has me. Because I was always a big talker. Loved to talk. Loved to tell stories. But never in my wildest dreams did I think that I would ever be doing what I'm doing. But I thank God for that, because that's what I live for now. I've probably been in every one of y'all's seats. Probably. But God is so awesome. And He loves you so much. And you're right, He never lets you down. He may not show up when you want Him to show up and do things when you want Him or the way you want Him to do it, but He's always there. The Word says He will never leave you nor forsake you. And you know what that word forsake means? It means let go of. You might try to let go of Him, but He will never let go of you. He's got you inscribed on the palm of His hand. He loves you. So we'll start out with that. If you didn't know you were loved, He loves you. With a love greater than you can ever imagine. Well, Father, we just thank You for another opportunity to come in Your presence and to love on You and allow You, Father, if there's anyone here with an unloving spirit, I bind that spirit right now, that would not let them receive the love that they need to receive from You or be able to give love the way they want to give it to others. Yes. I bind it and break its power, and I command it to get out of God's people in Jesus' name. I bind every familiar spirit, those spirits that would come and you've heard birds of a feather flock together. Well, familiar spirits draw people.
Yes.
And while we're sitting here, in the spirit realm, they could be having a party with other spirits that came. So I bind all those familiar spirits right now in the name of Jesus Christ from operating between persons.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, tonight I want to talk about, well, the title is Exploring Prayer. In my 41 years, I was thinking about this, talking to people about prayer, and realizing the concerns that people have about prayer, to the point that some people don't even know how to pray. They're almost scared to pray because they're going to offend God or try to get in His business. And we're going to talk about some of those things tonight. And I'm going to show you some examples from the Word. The word explore means to search into or travel in for the purpose of discovery. Search for or search out. And I want to share some things that personally I have discovered. Now, I grew up in a church that didn't talk a lot about prayer or anything else that I can remember from that. So when I started to pray, I found it to be difficult. In the first place, I wasn't sure because I had not really had a personal experience to know the Lord Jesus Christ for myself. So I wasn't real sure, you know, where my prayers were going or if they were even being heard until the day I got an answered prayer. And it was whenever I was facing a back surgery, a very serious back surgery for scoliosis. I was 23 years old. And that became a real prayer. My brother was a Methodist preacher, and he told me over the phone that Jesus could take my fear. Now, I don't think my brother had fear the way I had fear. Fear consumed me for many years. I mean, see, just like not being able to get up in front of people and talk. That's a spirit of fear. Fear of man, fear of failure, fear of making a fool out of yourself, which I've done all. But you know what? It doesn't matter. The things that we are so concerned about really don't matter a whole lot. They matter to man, but not in the body of Christ. And so I was terrified to have this surgery. For one thing, I couldn't swallow a pill. And I knew they were going to give me pills in the hospital. I still cried as an adult to get a shot. Isn't that ridiculous?
I do it too.
They gave me a shot. I wouldn't cry right there, but all the way home I would cry. It would hurt my feelings to stick that needle in my skin. Ran a mile down the beach one time because a bumblebee was chasing me. Now, there were a whole lot of other people on the beach. Didn't bother them. Fear will draw the very thing that you are fearful of to you.
Yeah.
And so I lived in a lot of fear. And so they were talking about rearranging my bones, and I wasn't too excited about that. So when my brother told me that Jesus could take my fear, I didn't believe him because I knew how big this thing was. But I wanted to believe him so bad. I wanted to believe that Jesus could take my fear. So that became my first prayer. It reminds me of another prayer in the Bible that I'm going to read to you in a minute, but because I didn't have that personal relationship with Jesus, my brother did, but I didn't. And so when we got off the phone, my first faith-filled prayer was, Lord, my brother told me that you could take my fear. Now, I just don't see how that's possible. But if it is, I need you to, because I can't have a baby till I have this surgery, and I really wanted to have babies. So I prayed that prayer. I started praying it in October. It wasn't until January that one day I was going to pray my prayer about the fear, and I realized it was not there. I had no fear, and it had been replaced with this excitement that you could have thought I had won a great vacation. I called my husband. I'm calling that surgeon today. I'm going to make the date. He was like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, then I realized his fear. He was afraid I was going to die. Well, I almost did die. But through that whole experience, when that fear left, I knew that I knew that I knew that he heard my prayer. He hears your prayers.
Amen.
You're not wasting your time when you pray. I have experienced in my 41 years of walking with the Lord an evolution where prayer is concerned. Now, I don't like that word evolution. You know, it's a big controversy. Do you believe in evolution? No. But the evolution means a gradual process in which something changes into a different and usually more complex or better form. So my prayer life evolved over the years. Now, we are taught a lot about prayer, but this is what I've learned. You cannot put God in a box. It is not you follow some formula and it's going to happen. That's not the way it works. That's why I want to talk about exploring prayer. Because a lot of things that when I would pray, most of the things that surprised me were, I was just going to give it a try. I'm going to try this. And then there would be results. Nobody ever taught me to do it. I didn't read it in a book. In fact, I'm not a book reader. I love my Bible, but I don't like reading a whole lot of books. My library could fit right here of books that I've read over the years. That's probably not something I should tell. Okay. So when the Lord began to call me to teach, one of the things that was on my heart, a desire that I had, was to be able to offer to people a shortcut. I said, Lord, if it's possible for me to give somebody a shortcut, somebody who's way back here and I'm here, to bring them, to share with them the things that God has taught me, to bring them up real quick so they don't have to trial and error for 41 years.
Yeah.
We don't really have a lot of time for each one of us to go through that process. We're supposed to be able to share that with others and have them embrace it and then pick up right there. I got so excited. I got an email from a lady that she didn't tell me this right away, but later she said, I've only known the Lord for 3 years. And I was like, I was so excited because she had grasped something. And I said, I am so happy to hear that you've only known the Lord for 3 years, because one of my desires was to offer people a shortcut, to bring them, you know, someplace that took me years to get to, and you just testified to that, and I am happy. Okay. So, where I am today, I live my life by three sets of scriptures. When I give someone a Bible, I write these three sets of scriptures in them. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So I'm just going to give you some, like, foundational things to start with. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I could quote it, but I'm going to read it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Listen, that's what we're taught to do. Lean unto our own understanding. Work things out the way we understand it. But don't do that anymore. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. You know what? Acknowledging God in all your ways. Not just the big problems and all, like the little miracle. In all your ways, acknowledge God. And he will direct your path. That's been proven. It's God's word, and it's proved out in my life. The second set is Matthew 6, 25 through 33. Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why are ye anxious for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, be not anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, the unbelievers. Those are the things that they seek. For your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But here's the key. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When my son graduated from college, he had big dreams. He graduated, he went to college to be a doctor. And when he graduated, he had all these ideas, you know, the doctor's lifestyle, the big house, the wife, the children, all these things. And from the airport, before we got out of the parking lot, he was on all these, now I've got this and now I've got that. I said, Wade, listen, you've got it all backwards, son. I said, you know, life is like a wheel, a wagon wheel. You know, in the old westerns, they had those wagon wheels. It had this big hub and then spoke, wooden spokes that went out and then the rim that went around. Well, life is like the rim. Mm-hmm. The spokes are the house, the job, the wife, the kids, all these things that you want. But without that hub, it's not going anywhere.
Right.
Here's what God says. Take care of the hub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And these things will be added.
Yes.
Added. Bonus, 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 bonus. Now, I'm not saying, you know, here's something that I've begun to realize. And I know it's a very clever plot of the enemy. There are principles of God. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. It will be a teaching, not this camp, but soon. There are principles of God that He has given us that have been misused to the point that Christians won't even use the principles. And that is a shame. We have been robbed of some of the principles because they've been misused. I'll just tell you, the message of prosperity has made people afraid to put those principles into work. And that is a shame.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bust that balloon very soon. Actually, God's been giving it to me for 10 years. I just haven't given it. It's another one of those 10-foot pole messages. But anyway. Okay, so you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And those things that are important to you, they'll be added to your life. The third set is Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Now this one, listen, I'm a quick study. I'm very simple. I like to keep things simple. And when I read something, I take it for what it says. I don't try to read between the lines. If it says it, I believe it. And I start doing it. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, again, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That almost means, you know, supplication means begging, pleading, with thanksgiving. Don't forget to be thankful. Let your request, be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen. Yep.
Okay, sometimes this one gets me in trouble because I'll pray and I make my request. Here's an example. My dad died in 1984 of cancer. My mother remarried. Now this man was dying with cancer. I told Mama she was going to get a bad reputation. But he was dying. And I did not want him to die in my mother's bed. Lord, my brother said, have you seen Edward lately? I said, yes, I have. I said, I'm praying that he will die in that recliner in the TV room. And my brother said, you're not supposed to pray like that. And I said, well, Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, to let my request be made known. That, Lord, that's my request. I just say it and I end it with, Lord, that's my request. Now, I was teaching another woman this that God was having me mentor. And she had come out of a very bitter, terrible divorce, terrible life. I mean, when she told me her life story, I thought, where can this be true? But it was. She had a terrible, terrible life. So I was teaching her this principle. And that we cannot go any further until you forgive your ex-husband.
Yeah.
You have to forgive. I don't care what he did.
Yeah.
If when you forgive him, it's not for him, it's for you.
That's right.
Because you're not going any further until you forgive him.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I want you to pray for him right now. And she, fire could come out of her ears. And I said, look, just let your request be made known. Lord, I'm asking you to have him step off the curb and get hit by a truck and killed. I went, whoa. No. No. You cannot pray like that. You pray like that, you're getting over in the devil's territory.
That's right.
No. You cannot pray ill will.
Yes.
You cannot. But let your request be made known unto God. I'm going to show you some in the scripture. Genesis 24. I was so happy when I saw this in the scripture because I thought, that's exactly the way I pray. This is Abraham's servant. Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for his son, Isaac. Okay? Now, the servant didn't have a relationship with God, but the servant knew Abraham did. So in verse 12, he says, O Lord God of my master Abraham. That's kind of the prayer of praise. Lord, my brother told me that you said, I didn't have a relationship with him, but my brother did. But he told me, and I want to believe it. O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let her be the one whom thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master Abraham. Verse 15, and it came to pass before he had finished speaking. I love that. Before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. And she did exactly what he requested. He was very specific with his request. So don't be afraid to be specific.
That's right. Amen.
Be specific with your request to God.
Yeah. That's right.
Listen, God is a detailed man.
Yes,
he is interested in the most minute details. Have you ever looked at a teensy, weensy flower? I mean, detailed. I say this sometimes when, I'll just say this. Let's look, and I'm not criticizing, it's an observation. At the Amish or at the Quakers, they have a house, but no curtains, you know, no frillies, no doodads, no, you know. And I think to myself, Lord, how can they live in your earth and not see that you like to beautify things.
Yeah.
He created this earth, but he didn't leave it a big old brown dirt ball.
That's right.
He gave us trees and grasses and flowers and lakes and streams and rocks and all these things. He loves to make things beautiful. He made Adam like himself. You know, God is complete. We don't call him We call him Father, but he is complete. He has all the emotions, the compassion, the tenderness, the everything. So he made Adam the same way God is. But when he took Eve out of Adam, the man became different. He took out that womanly part. You know, man is a lot of testosterone, but a little bit of estrogen. And a woman is a lot of estrogen with a little bit of testosterone. The man goes out and hunts. The woman makes the nest. We had these two pigs. Well, you know, God showed this thing through his creation. And we had this hog. I named him Piggy Piggy. He looked like a black Volkswagen. He was huge. And we thought we would raise some little ones. So these people had a female that they wanted to get rid of. And she was little. And he was big. And we named her Rosie. So it's Piggy Piggy and Rosie. And my husband built this pen that Piggy Piggy wouldn't stay in. And we would put a bale of hay in there. You know, other people told us what to do because we didn't have a clue what to do with a couple of pigs. And so she would... Now, he would be laying in the sun, you know, rooting and whatever. And she's tearing that hay all to pieces. She's pushing it. And she would make a bed. I was just floored to watch this pig. I mean, she cared about her little pen.
She did.
And she made a place for her and her man. And it was so funny, they slept nose to tail. His nose would be here, his tail, and her nose would be here and his tail. That's how they slept. I could tell stories all day about Piggy Piggy. The funniest one was because... You know, I keep things simple. One day Piggy Piggy got out, and he could be aggressive. And he tore up one of my, I liked old stuff, and I had this old wash stand with a wash tub on top of it. When we were building the house, that's where I took my bath. But Piggy Piggy took a liking to my wash tub one day, and he just tore it plumb up. So he could be aggressive. But I was looking out the kitchen window, and Piggy Piggy was out. My husband, our two sons, a couple of other boys from the neighborhood took these cat, some kind of fencing that's wire. Cattle panel, is that what it's called? A cattle panel. So they took two of them, and they were going to corral Piggy Piggy back in the pen. And they would all be running, you know, he would start trotting, and they would all be running, and he would run out. So they'd go over here and get behind him. And so I was watching out the kitchen window, and I thought, those guys. I took a bag of bread, dropped a piece, and that pig just followed me right into the pan. Okay, so how did I get up on Piggy Piggy? Yeah, male and female stuff. But anyway, that's how God made us. Women, we like to decorate. We like to make things pretty. Okay, so here's one example. Now I want to look at 2 Kings 6. At another one, he made a request. This is Samson. You know, he lost his sight. And his hair, and his strength. 2 Kings 6, verse 17. I'm sorry, this is Elijah. Different people, different story. This is another one. Elijah and his servant, in verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, what shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they who are with us are more than they who are with them.
Yes.
And Elijah prayed, he's making his request, and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I'm making that request with a couple of my kids. Lord, open their eyes, not to see the chariots. Let them see the demons in the activities that they are involved in. Let them see. Let them see it. And run to God. That's my request. Okay. You know what? I didn't write down the scriptures for Samson, but I'll just tell you about it. He had lost his strength, but he went up under this place where the Philistines, I think it was, they were having a big meeting, and they were all in this building, and he goes up under it, and he says, Lord, grant me one more time strength, and let me die right here with the Philistines. Now, I've always wondered what might have happened if he had just said, give me strength one more time to remove this pillar and collapse this building and, you know, let the enemies perish, without saying, and let me die right here with them. Maybe he wouldn't have died. I don't know. That's not in here. But that was his request. One more time, Lord, give me the strength that I might. And he pulled those pillars down, and the building collapsed, and they all perished. So see, make your request. Sometimes I think people are afraid of making your request. I had someone tell me one time, God doesn't, he wants you to pray, but he doesn't need you to tell him what to do. Well, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 tells me to make my request.
That's right.
Buddy, I'm going to make my request.
Amen.
Okay? And James 4, 3, this is the one I use when I, and I usually just tell them what the scripture says, but I want y'all to see these. I'll write them down and look at them later. James 4, verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. See, you don't have to worry about asking something wrong, unless you're praying for evil. That would be wrong. But you can make your request and not worry about it being a wrong request. Because if it is, it's not. He's not going to grant it.
Right.
You ask and you have not, because you ask amiss.
Right.
And that's a learning. That's a learning situation too.
Yeah.
So then, after many years of praying like this, God challenged me, because I was having a situation that was very grievous to me. It was breaking my heart. It involved one of my children. Well, all of my children, actually. And I was crying out to God about it. Lord, my children, my children. Every day, Lord, I didn't even know what to pray. My children, my children. And he said, why are you coming to me with this? I was like, what? Lord, who else is there? And then I remembered a story that I had studied in Exodus. Exodus 14, when Moses, the reason I knew the story of Moses so good is because when my son, my oldest, my good kid, had three children, two are on the wrong path. My third one, the one who never gave us any trouble, the one who loves Jesus, got swept into the Mormon church. I was devastated at that. And when he left on his mission, you know, he left college. He was on the dean's list, and after 2 years of college, he was going to leave to go on his bicycle mission. I was, you know, the college said, because it was a religious thing, that they would hold his scholarship, which I was thankful for, because he went to school on a scholarship. And he was fixing to leave. Now, I had made my request. Lord, they're fixing to send him on a mission. It could be anywhere in this world. My request is that he not leave the continental United States. Lord, that's my request. So he calls me, Mama, I got assigned my mission. I said, really? Where are you going, Wade? Idaho. I said, good place for a potato head. So the day he was leaving, Mike and I drove him to the airport. I wanted to fall on his feet and just grab around his ankles and say, please don't do it. We couldn't even see him. Couldn't talk to him except on Mother's Day and Christmas. Only two times we could talk to him. So my request, Lord, is that this be a good departure. If I'm not going to see my son, I don't want to be crying. I want it to be a pleasant parting of ways. So he left, had on his little Mormon uniform, his suit and tie, and his little elder badge and all of this stuff. I just couldn't believe how in the world did this happen. And the devil came. The devil came and said, I've got all three of your kids. Well, it took me a little while to learn how to battle that. Is the devil a liar?
Yes.
Then he does not have all three of my kids. They all belong to Jesus. They all accepted him and were baptized into him. And they will serve him all the days of their life. And let me tell you, when they come around, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. In Jesus' name. Anyway, when the plane left the ground, my heart, I just began to bawl. It took me by surprise. I didn't expect it. And Mike came over and he was trying to comfort me. And it was like, Lord, what is this? And I knew at that moment, I don't know how these things come to me, but I asked the question. I said to Mike, I am experiencing Moses' mother's heart when she pushed that baby in that basket. She had to totally trust God with his life.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So we're driving home in the car, and God said, go take a good look at Moses. So, boy, I went home and read the whole story of Moses.
Wow.
You know what I got out of that? How interesting it was. Never thought about it in my life, that if God had called all the Hebrews together and said, okay, now listen, we've got to have a plan. We got to hide Moses because he's a deliverer. We got to put him someplace where he'll be safe. I know. Let's put him in the Pharaoh of Egypt's castle. Who would have ever thought to do that?
Right.
The things that were going on in our house, and Jeremiah 9. I got to read you this because this just made my day when I saw it. This was way after I told Wade that God had comforted me with Scripture. And he said, oh, Mom, what Scripture? 29, I'm sorry. Jeremiah 29. What Scripture? Well, it's right after the famous one.
Yeah.
For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. So I said, I don't even know where that scripture is. The day he told me he joined the Mormon church, I almost vomited on his feet. I went outside and I said, Lord, I need to hear from you. I need to hear a word concerning my son. He said, he who seeks me with all of his heart shall find me. He was on a spiritual quest. But I didn't want him to, you know, go there. And I said, even in the Mormon church, Lord? Hello? I didn't hear anything. That's all I got. He who seeks me with all of his heart shall find me.
Amen.
Okay? It says in 12, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me. That was May of 99. I've got it beside the scripture. When ye shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found by you, saith the Lord.
Yeah.
And I will turn away your captivity.
Amen.
I would tell people they took him captive.
Mm-hmm.
kidnapping. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places which I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place from which I caused you to be carried away. So you'll be coming back home. I know that. One day in the office, I was doing mindless work, not even thinking about Wade, and I heard, don't worry about how he leaves that church. They're going to kick him out. Oh, Lord, that'll devastate him. But it'll be all right. It'll be all right. But see, God can turn your devastation into hope and joy and peace in a split second. All your ways. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. So God said, why are you coming to me with that? And Moses. I'll go back to Moses now. Exodus 14. You know the story well. The Hebrews were in Egypt. They were slaves. They were in slavery. And God sent Moses to bring them out. Just like God sent Jesus to bring us out of slavery to sin.
Amen.
Okay. So they're leaving and they get to the Red Sea. They can't go any further. And they can hear the Pharaoh's chariots. He thought, what am I doing? I'm going to go back and get them. So he sends his army, and they're on their way. The people can hear the rumbling of the horses and everything, and they're freaking out. And they're all looking at Moses, probably ready to kill him. And I can see him getting on a high place, trying to calm the people down. And this is what he says. Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again, no more forever. Let me tell you, when you get inspired enough, you start prophesying.
Yes.
The Lord shall fight for you.
Amen.
And ye shall hold your peace.
Amen.
Verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore cryest thou unto me?
Yes.
Same thing he said to me. Why are you coming to me with this? He said to Moses, he's hearing the big speech. Why are you calling out to me? But lift up thy rod. Now he's going to tell him what to do. This is how you do it. Lift up your rod. See, God had given him that staff to perform miracles with. Remember the snake and the stick and leprosy and all that. Lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now that, he was looking at a totally impossible situation. Do you have any? Totally impossible. Lift up thy rod. See, in the Old Testament, God gave Moses that rod. In the New Testament, we've been given the rod of authority. It is the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The name of Jesus is our rod of authority. He has given us permission to use His name. To do what? Preach the gospel of the kingdom. Not just the gospel of salvation. There's a whole lot more to the gospel. The gospel of the kingdom. Heal the sick. Heal them. Heal them. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. To me, that's the fivefold ministry. Preach, heal, cleanse, raise the dead, cast out demons. Five things. God said, after I realized that, yet I say to you that if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, that you would ask me to move your mountain. I had to think about it a minute. No, pretty sure Matthew 17:20, it says, they said, why couldn't we cast that demon out of that boy? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know what nothing is? It's a compound word of no thing. No thing shall be impossible unto you. In the name of Jesus. I got an email recently, and this woman had heard me teaching on casting out demons and praying for children. And she said, you know, I had been having the thought to go and put my finger on my son's forehead and say, with the finger of God, I cast out demons. And I thought, hang on. I said, you may think I'm being nitpicky. But Jesus did not tell us to cast out demons like that. He said, in my name, you shall cast out demons. And the devil's know the difference.
Yeah.
You got saying by the finger of God, they're not going to move. In the name of Jesus, you shall cast out demons. Matthew 19:26 also says, with God, all things are possible. So, a little later, in my evolution of prayer, I was up against a situation where my son was being accused of stealing some money. And he was a thief. I understand why they blamed him. I wasn't sure either. I didn't, you know. He said at supper one night, Mama, he had a deep voice, Mama, you believe I took that money? I said, Kyle, I sure hope you didn't take that money. But I don't know you taking money from me. Why should I not think that you took money from them? He said, because I'm telling you I didn't take any money. Well, you lied too, so. I don't know, you know. But he said, well, Mama, have you asked God to show you that I'm innocent? I said, Kyle, I have prayed that you be not guilty. But no, to answer your question, I have not asked God to show me that you are innocent. He said, well, I want you to pray and ask God to show you that I'm innocent. I said, okay, Kyle, I'll do that. So the next morning when I got in my prayer time, I said, Lord, I'm a man of my word. I told Kyle I would ask you. Now, other than turning the clock back all those days and putting me in the room where the money was taken, I don't see how you can show me. But I'm asking you to show me that he's innocent, because that's what he asked me to ask you. I didn't have a whole lot of faith in that prayer. But I kept my word. And I'm not kidding, later that morning, I was vacuuming before I went to the office to be with my husband. I didn't work, I just kept him coming. But I was vacuuming and I had praise music on, and between my hand on the handle and the floor, I started seeing, it was about this big, like a little TV screen and a movie picture of the boy whose money was stolen and the grandfather of the boy. Now, I always told God I didn't want to be a missionary, because going to Africa in the heat and the bugs and squatting and all those things, you know, I always said, I know God will have made me into a missionary when I can art the master of squatting. Can't do it. But anyway, does that have to do with anything? Has to do with being a missionary. Oh, yeah. Okay. So God didn't send me to Africa. That's where I was going. He sent me to Roganville, Texas, which is in the backwoods of East Texas. And it's just like a third world country. I mean, it's a different world altogether. And so this young man was the only one in his tribe, I'll say, because the whole family, extended, lived on one plot of land, almost all in one house, poverty stricken. And he was 17, he was the only one that worked. He had a job at Sonic. But every paycheck his grandfather took from him and bought tobacco, beer, gasoline, whatever he wanted. And this boy had gotten his income tax return, and he did not want to give that money to his grandfather. And I don't blame him. But old grandpa said, this is what I'm seeing. I see grandpa say, go get me $40. And the young man is walking to his room, angry. Grandpa's right behind him. And I heard the boy's thought. I give him every paycheck. I shouldn't have to give him my income tax return. He said, I'm not giving him my income tax return. He goes into the room, is there for a minute, comes out and says, it's gone. Now, Kyle had been over there, and Grandpa immediately accused Kyle of stealing that money. And I told him, I said, look, I know Kyle's a thief, but he's not everybody's thief. You know? And I'm not going to just assume that he took that money. Well, anyway, this went on for a while. But that's all I saw. And I told it to Mike when I got to work. I said, you ain't going to believe what I saw this morning. It was so weird. And you know what? For years I've been praying for dreams and visions. And they started happening, and I didn't even know what they were. A little TV screen. And I could hear and see. But I could still see the floor. It was so strange. Well, time went by. Old Grandpa was badgering Kyle, parking outside his job, and, you know, just... It told me one day, we have ways of getting the truth in these woods. I said, what are you talking about? Oh, we'll find him on a long road, but we'll connect the battery cables to his testicles. I guarantee you, he'll tell the truth. I went to the police. Dear God, I thought this man was harmless. I'm not so sure anymore. But I don't want that happening to my son. Guilty or not. But anyway, so come to find out, one day the boy miraculously found his money in his room all along. And that's when I knew, Lord, can that be? Did you show me that Kyle was innocent? That's what that was. Now, I want to make sure that whatever's happening with me is in the Word somewhere. And I remember Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And Daniel made his request to God. Show me the dream. God showed him the dream and the interpretation. Explore in prayer. Explore prayer. Don't be afraid to go out on a limb. Let me tell you, God is out there. He'll be out there on the limb with you. Another time, Wade came back from his mission, and he was given a report to the church, and he had invited all of his family. Well, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go in that Mormon church and listen to him brag about Joseph Smith and, you know, all of their stuff. And so, I wasn't going to go. I'm not going. My mother, she'd call me every day, now, Punky, that is your son, and you need to be there. I mean, this lump would come in my face. I couldn't even talk about it. So I'm driving home that day because the meeting is tomorrow night. And I said, Lord, it just occurred to me that I have not even haven't even prayed about this. You know I don't want to go, but if you want me to go, I will go. But you're going to have to hurry because it's tomorrow night. I need to know something pretty quick. Driving down the road, it was dark. In between the steering wheel and the windshield, I saw a poster picture like this. I could still see the road. You know what I've learned? I was seeing those things in the spirit. Took me a long time to get it. But, you know, you're a spiritual being, and you can see things in the spirit that you can't see with the natural eye. So what I saw was the inside of that church, which I'd never been in. I didn't even think, oh, look at how that's set up. You know, I could have told you everything about that church in detail. But the thing that hit me most was that Mike and I were sitting front and center, Wade was at the pulpit, the third pew, and it was like this, pews here, and then pews over there, and pews over there. The church was packed. And we were sitting right, and I looked fine. I wasn't crying or upset or anything. I said, Lord, I can do this. He showed me. I can do this. Got home, told Mike, I'm going. What? Yeah, I'm going. I told him what happened. He's like, mm-hmm. So we get to the church. They bring us down this left wall over here to sit way in the back in that section over there. And as soon as we walked in and started going back there, I told Mike, oh, we're not supposed to be sitting here. No, this is not right. We're not supposed to. He said, honey, please, just sit down. So I sat down. It was just about time to start, and this woman walks across the front of the church. She goes around to the third pew over here. She says something to the people. I'm watching, because that was my reservation. And she said something, and they all look at each other like this, and they all get up and leave the third pew, and then she summons us. And we go across and sit, and Mike and I were front and center. And I patted my husband. I said, now is where we're supposed to be. And I was telling my brother this story, and you know what he said? That's a born-again Christian. I bet Mike thinks you're a witch. I said, listen to you. You know what? This makes me mad. Because this tells me that as a Christian, you understand the powers of the kingdom of darkness, but you don't understand the powers of the kingdom of God. What's up with that? Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because I guarantee you, if I went and joined a witch coven today, they would start teaching me right away the power that is available to me, and they would teach me how to use it. Where is that in the church? Where is that? I hungered and thirsted after that from the day I started reading my Bible and seeing the power of God. I was looking for it. But I got to Lake Hamilton. God got me to Lake Hamilton. Listen, God, he's the master planner, and he has a plan, just like I read from Jeremiah 29. He has a plan for you. Hey, Moses was 80. 80. God has a plan for you, and he knows what he's doing, even though you may not. So be encouraged. Words of knowledge. You know, the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, the gift of healing, the workings of miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, and the discerning of spirits. Boy, I would pray that every day. Lord, give me words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Be bold in your prayers. Ask for everything that he says is yours. If Jesus has it and Jesus is in you, then it is in you, and he wants to use, that's what it means to offer your body a living sacrifice. You know, when I got it that Jesus died and went to heaven so that I could live, when I got that, and he was here on earth doing the things that he did, And he went there to send himself into each one of us who would believe on him to do the very same thing that he did. That's exciting. I want to do them. And it's not just the big things either. I was in an estate sale and picked up, there was this colorful looking, it looked like something you'd put in a bow and arrow and shoot, but it wasn't an arrow. It looked like a fish hook on the end. You know, all these little colored braids around the thing, and everybody came in that room and picked it up. What is this? Can I look at it? Lord, what is this? And I, you know, Lord, I wonder what this is. And all of a sudden, I saw a snapshot. I got this big. And there was a bullfighter. They throw these barbs, you know, it's like a fish hook on the end, goes into the bull, and they have all these colorful things hanging off of them so they bleed to death or whatever. That's what it was. Let me tell you another cool one. I'm sitting at my little fire. We had a wood-burning stove in our house. How many of you have a fireplace or a wood-burning stove? How many of you know that a solid log does not put off the same heat as split wood? Okay? When you don't really want a hot fire, you put whole ones. But if it's really, really cold and you want a hot fire, you put split wood on there. So I'm sitting in front of this wood-burning stove, and I'm putting firewood in there. And I said, Lord, what makes this wood burn hot? What makes it hot? It's just wood. I didn't expect an answer, but all of a sudden, not even anywhere, but in my mind, I saw dirt and a sprig green coming out, and it began to grow. It was a tree, and the tree grew stronger and stronger. But as the tree was growing, I was very aware of the sun, the sunlight. What happens is the tree is storing the energy of the sun in the center of the tree. So that when you split the wood, all that energy that is in there, and you put fire, fire is just a catalyst. Is that the right word? You just put the fire to it, and it releases the energy that's been stored up in that tree. I thought, get out. That is amazing. So my son comes home, Mr. Smarty Pants, graduated magna cum laude. He's smart. And he was home, it was Christmas time, and I'm poking the wood. He says, Mama, you don't make that wood hot? Well, as a matter of fact, I did. So I told him a little story, and he said, I didn't tell him about the little sprig. I said, the tree is growing. It's storing the energy of the sun. When you split the wood and put the fire to it, it releases off. He said, how did you know that? I said, I asked God, and he told me. It's just very simple. He wants to talk to you. He said he wants to show you the hidden things. And I don't mind asking. I ask a lot of questions. One time I said, Lord, is there anything? We built a new house. Is there anything in this house that does not glorify you? I'm waking up one morning. Mike goes to get coffee to bring it back to the bed. And I was kind of in that drowsy state. But I saw the boy's dresser upstairs. And underneath it on the left-hand side was a stack of pornography. That's what I saw. Pictures. See, I didn't know yet. That's a word of knowledge. That's a word of wisdom or whatever it is. Till that was on Saturday morning. On Monday morning, I happened to think about it again. Put my coffee down, ran upstairs, got on my knees, and looked under the dresser, and sure enough, there was a stack of pornography. Well, that led to a bunch of other discussions with the boys. But God will help you. He will help you find things. I send the angels out all the time to find my keys or something for somebody else. They The word says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Listen to this, and upbraideth not. You know what that means, that word upbraideth? It means scold. He won't scold you when you ask him questions. And it shall be given you. So I want to encourage you tonight to begin to explore prayer. And write down your answers when they come. It's the most exciting life there is on this earth. So let me pray for you and then we're going to go to bed. Father, thank you. I want to thank you for every woman who is here tonight. I thank you for bringing them here, that you love them enough to get them here. Not that you didn't love the others, it's just, you know, there's timing. God's timing is important and perfect. So I am confident that the timing for them to be here is now. And I thank you ahead of time for the blessings that they are going to experience while they're here. Answers that they came to get answers to their questions, to their problems, for direction. Lord, you always, I have never seen it fail that you meet them right where they are. And I thank you for that. That nobody will go home the same way they came. It might not be the way they expected it, but Lord, we like surprises. So my request is that you surprise every one of us. Right now I bind every tormenting spirit that would torment and keep them from being able to get a good night's rest. I bind those tormenting demons in Jesus' name, and I call the mighty angels to come stand around them shoulder to shoulder to watch over them as they sleep. And their homes, Lord. We send your mighty angels to cover, to surround their homes and their families while they're here, that they don't have one distraction. And we thank you. We love you, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.